All right.
Yeah, people are already calling me on.
So we'll get started.
I'm very sorry what happened before. I can't stop other calls from coming in. Am I wrong?
So I both say today I'm very excited to share with you, according to the best of my understanding, this chiddush, this beautiful presentation, in the name of my Rebbe.
Could I
here
ask,
in Hare Kedem.
From Rav Soloveitchik?
Yes, except for when you see brackets,
yeah.
And the brackets will end or begin with Aleph Hey, which is Omar HaKosev, and that's where Rabbi Shurkin adds his own insights. But the
how
text itself, the text itself.
Yeah.
Is Rabbi Shurkin's right? You know his notes. That's the word I needed. His notes of the shiurim that he heard. I wasn't zocher to hear Masechet Shabbos. I came the year after.
Was there a lot of Masechet talk like this?
Well, he's working now on a new book. I'm not sure which Masechet. But then you have something called the Rishimas Shirim, which are notes taken by Rabbi Reichman, Heshi Reichman. That covers a lot of Masechtas. This work, Hare Kedem, is limited to just a few, you know, mostly, almost totally, exclusively Moed.
Here he's also talking a lot about Halacha,
considering,
isn't he? Because it's not just Pshat Gemorah what we learned in it.
Well, again, it shifts from piece to piece, you know, it really depends on the presentation.
Thank you.
Okay then. So let's begin from the beginning, and that is the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel in the first Mishnah in Perek Kira regarding Chazara. And that's of course on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis. And this is going to tie together the sugya on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis together with the sugya that we're working on now on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis. So that's why I thought it's a very good juncture, Parshas Drachim, so to speak, to speak about the concept of Chazorah and the relationship between Chazorah and Shehiyah. And basically, this whole presentation is going to integrate all the concepts that we've been studying until now, namely a Garufa Katum versus an Eina Grufa Veina Ketuma. It's going to obviously address the issue of Shehiyah versus Chazora. We're going to talk about Mitztamik V'Yofalo versus Mitztamik V'Ralo. All these concepts that Baruch Hashem, they became household words for us here, you know, in terms that we're familiar with, are all integrated here into this very revolutionary piece that I wanted to learn with you today. So we start with the Machlokas Beis Hillel Beit Shammai regarding Chazara, and the Mishnah says at the beginning of Perek Kira that Beit Shammai Omrim Notlin Avolo Machzirin, there's no Heter Chazara according to Beit Shammai, and Beis Hillel Omrim Af Machzirin, there's a Heter Chazara, you could put it back on the Kira on Shabbos itself. You get the impression, at first glance, that there's a fundamental machlokas here between Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel, what I would call min hakotza el hakotza, the polar extremes. Beit Shammai doesn't recognize any heter chazora, and Beis Hillel has no problem with chazora. But that impression is quickly dispelled when you fast forward to the sugya on Daf Lamed Ches, the sugya that we began this week. On Lamed Ches Amid Beis, the Gemara says, hey, wait a minute, let's not take Beis Hillel at face value and think that there's a carte blanche, an absolute heter chazora without any conditions attached. And that's not true. There's at least one condition attached, if not two conditions attached. And the Gemara says in the name of Abaye that we need Odon Biyado as opposed to Nicham Al Gabi Karka. We need Daito Lahachzir. And therefore we begin to get the impression, which just completely dispels our original impression, that even Beis Hillel is on board with Beis Shammai, there's no heter chazorah. Chazorah is also on Shabbos. No, if chazorah is also on Shabbos, so how does Odom Biyodo, Veloi Nichon Al Gavi Karka, or Daito Lahachzir, how does that help to alleviate the problem, if the problem is so fundamental and there's an Isur Chazor on Shabbos, then what good is it if it's Odom V'yodo, he's still holding on to the pot, and now he wants to put it back onto the Kira, or when he took it off, he had in mind to put it back on the Kira. How are those problems resolved? The Gemara is now assuming that there's no carte blanche heter, unconditional heter of Chazor, even according to Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel's Shita now becomes very close to Beit Shammai. So I'm also, who can remember? I'm just sort of quizzing you a little bit to get some feedback here, make sure we're all on board. Who can remember how those conditions, once they're met, would help us to justify a Heter Chazora on Shabbos itself according to Beis Hillel?
What the conditions are, or how the conditions?
No, how? What is the lumdus here? What is the on a conceptual basis? Why is it that if A, you know, these are my two premises, and they seem to be mutually exclusive. Premise number one is that Beis Hillel agreed to Beit Shammai. There's no heter chazor on Shabbos. He can't put things on the pot, you know, pot of food and on the oven, on the stove on Shabbos. Period. Beis Hillel agrees to Beit Shammai, he applauds Beit Shammai. That's premise number one. Premise number two is, yet in certain conditions, namely, if he didn't put it down on the karka, it's odon biyodo. Or alternatively, if it's, and we might also need this as a second condition, it's daito lahasir, then Beis Hillel allow it. How do we reconcile those two? You just finished telling me that Beis Hillel agreed to Beit Shammai, that there's an Isur Chazora. How can they allow it in the case of Odom V'Yodom?
Then those conditions are as if you're not doing Chazora, it's as if it was the whole time.
This is what we call Hemsheich HaShehiyah. Mm-hmm. Which means continuation of the original Shehiyah. We're not allowing Chazorah. Beis Hillel is on board with Beit Shammai. There's no Heter Chazorah on Shabbos. But as we explained at great length, what we're trying to do is replace the original Shehiyah. And now the Shehiyah that was permitted on Erev Shabbos continues. And why? Because I snatched the bag and I put it back in its place. Right? I took the pot off the fire and put it right back on the fire. When I say put it right back on the fire, don't take me literally here. I'm not looking at the clock and I'm saying, well, was it Toch Kedei, Toch Kedei She'ela Shalom Talmud L'Rabo? You know, that's not what I mean. But what I mean is, in a conceptual world, the original Shehiyah still exists. We think that the Shehiyah has terminated because he took it off the fire. And the answer is no. He took it off the fire and put it back on the fire. He didn't even have time to put it down on the ground. And in that sense, we see the original Shehiyah as if it still exists. Does anybody here remember that? I mean, Ben certainly remembers that, but we've discussed it a great way. Excellent. All right, so this is the Hemsheich HaShehiyah. This means that we're talking about basically replacing or continuing the original Shehiyah. And if you look at these pages, which I gave you, the first page, which would have a Kufyud Gimel on the top left, has Simon Lamed Zayin, which is towards the bottom of your page. And if you look in the right column, just two lines up before the end, he writes, Ein kan chazora klal. He says that if it's Odin Biyodo, he's still holding on to the pot, he hasn't put it down on the karka, his das is to replace it, is Ein Kan Chazor Klal. This is not called Chazor, but rather, the Chazor is considered a Hemshech, a continuation, Shel HaShehiyah HaKodemis, on the last line on the right side. Now, we're ready for a brilliant question. And the whole Shia today is going to be focused around this question. And it's a question that we could have easily missed. And Rav Soloveitchik is calling our attention to this. He's like the shofar waking us up from our slumber. And basically he's saying that this can't be, even though it has to be, but it can't be, meaning we have a contradiction. How could we say that Chazor really doesn't mean Chazorah, because Chazor per se is prohibited even according to Beis Hillel, but really Chazor is just a Hemsheich Shel HaShehiyah HaKodemes. So what we're looking now is when he puts it back onto the fire, because he never put it down, is the original Shehiyah. He says, Hine, this is the paragraph that starts with Me'at on the bottom left. Hine chazinon sheyesh kama v'kama chiluke dinim bein shehiya l'chazara. You're selling me Lakshinkugel here. This is Bubba Meister. This is, we used to say where I came from, you're selling me the Brooklyn Bridge. Right? This is, you can't sell this to me. You can't tell me that Chazara is really replacing the original Shahir. I'll tell you why you can't tell me that. Even though you have to tell me that. But you can't tell me that because the dinim of Chazara change. If you're telling me the Chazara replaces or extends the original Shahir, then the laws of Chazar should be identical to the laws of Shahir. Does everybody follow that premise? Again, this is a very, if you follow this premise, then there's a chance that our discussion today will be successful. Again, we're taking a little break from what we've been doing the last couple of days of, you know, just plowing through the sugyas because I'm very eager to get to the sugya daf mem and then to sugya daf mem dalet. So I've been rushing it a little. So now we're taking a little pause, maybe in honor of my daughter's wedding today. We'll take a little pause, slow down a little bit, and take a deep breath. And I want to give you a brilliant insight. There seems to be a problem here. There are two premises, each of which would seem to be absolutely soundproof, and we must accept them, and they are mutually exclusive. On the one hand, premise number one is Chazara is only permitted if and when it's a hemsheikh of the original Shahir. And all the conditions that have to be met in order to permit Chazara are all geared towards the same goal, to accomplish the goal of continuing the original Shahir. So basically, there is no such thing as Chazara. All we have is Shahir. Now, premise number two, the laws of Shahir and the laws of Chazara are not identical. And that's what Rav Soloveitchik is going to prove on this page, which is called Kuf Yud Gimel. And if you flip to the other side on Kuf Yud Dalet, he's going to prove to you something that you cannot reject, that you cannot argue against, namely, that the laws of Chazara are different than the laws of Shahir. And that leads us to the following problem. How can we maintain the first premise that Chazara is Shahir, and then at the same time maintain that the laws change and the laws of Shahir are not identical with the laws of Chazara? If our first premise is correct, that Chazara is nothing more than continuing the original Shahir, then by definition, the laws of Chazara should reflect in an identical way the laws of Shahir. Now, how does Rav Soloveitchik know that the laws of Chazara are different than the laws of Shahir? So he illustrates this first and foremost with Hananya. What is Hananya's shita? Hananya says that you're allowed to do Shahir on a kira she'eno garif eino katum, an open flame. Again, add the proviso that it has to have reached Kemaychol ben Josoi before Shabbos. And yet, Hananya would not allow Chazara on Shabbos in the case of an Eino Garif, Eino Katam. No one, and I emphasize that, would permit Chazara on Shabbos on an Eino Garif, Eino Katam. Could be in certain cases Chazara is prohibited even on a Garif or Katam, as we'll soon see. And in a Tanur that we discussed yesterday, in a Kupach, for sure Chazara is going to be Asur, even if it's a Garif or Katum, as the Shulchan Aruch codifies it in Reish Nun Gimel. But be that as it may, Hananya on the one hand permits Shahir, again it's an Eino Garif and a Katum, and yet he agrees, and there's no machlokus about this, that Chazara is prohibited on an Eino Garif, Eino Katum. And that's what the Mishnah says explicitly in the beginning of Parakira. The Mishnah says lo yitein, which means lo yisheh. I'm sorry. Lo yitein means lo yachzir, but Shahir itself is mutter. Right? That was one side of the Gemara reflecting the sheet of whom? Hananya. And according to that side, lo yitein means that on Shabbos there's no chazara, even though you're replacing the original Shahir. Watch this, Rabosai. Let's say, for example, I have an Eino Garif, Eino Katum, and I left my pot on the fire on Erev Shabbos. Eino Garif, Eino Katum. It's what we call an Eish Megula. It's an open fire. Did I violate any Iser? No, we're going like Hananya. Hananya allows you to do Shehi on an Eino Garf, Eino Katav. Now, I pick up the pot on Shabbos and immediately replace it without putting it down. Which, according to our definition in that first premise, is Hemsheich HaShehiya Kodemus. We're just putting back to the state of Shehiya. Am I allowed to do that? No. Why not? If it's a Hemsheich of the original Shehiya, and the original Shehiya was Mutter, according to Hananya, then why can't the Chazara be Mutter, so far as Chazara is replacing the original Shehiya? Example number two, this is on the top of page Kuf Yud Dalet, if you flip the page to the other side. Gamla Rabbanon, let's go according to the Chachomim of Hananya. They prohibit Shehiya in the case of an Eino Goruf, the Eino Kot. Is that prohibition absolute, all-inclusive? Are there any exceptions to the rule where even the Rabbanon will agree to Hananya that Shehiya's mutter on an Eino Garuf, Eino Katuv? You may recall that we had a long discussion about this. We came up with three different scenarios in which the Rabbanon would allow Shehiya on an Eino Garuf, Eino Katuv. Let's go over them very quickly. I'm going to go over them backwards. The first one we'll say is the last one is the tour. The tour says if I have no interest in eating my food on Friday night, then it's mutter. Number two, kedera chaisa, which means if I have raw food. And number three is if it's mitztamek viralo. How do I know mitztamek viralo? So again, this is going to again connect together so many different sugyas that we learned. If you didn't notice, I'm very excited about this. So if you take a look at Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, the Gemara says that Omer of Nachman is around eight lines up from the bottom, and Shmuel, you pointed out that it's also in the middle of the daf, if last time I said this. Mitztamik v'yofalo osur, mitztamik v'ralo mutter. Now this heter of mitztamik v'ralo is only applicable to Shehiya. Meaning on Erev Shabbos, I'm allowed to put my tavshil that's fully cooked onto an open fire, leave it on the open fire entering into Shabbos, because the continuation of the process of cooking is detrimental to the food. And that's mutul chatchila. I can take a pot of food that is totally cooked, place it on the fire on Erev Shabbos, and leave it on an open fire. Why? Because it's mitztamek viralo. That's what it says here on Daf Lamed Zayin Omid Beis. However, Bechazara, when it comes to putting it back onto the fire, I'm not allowed to put it back onto this open fire, even if it's mitztamek viralo. Kimavur Baran, okay, here if you have the old classical Gemaras, you know, before Masifta was invented, or Otskol, or whatever, you take a look in the back, and you'll see in the riff on page Yud Zayin Amid Beis, right, the riff has its own pagination, that the Ran writes the following. Uli'inin Chazor, it's about 10 lines up from the bottom, Kol She'eno Garuf V'Kotum, Afilu Mitztamek V'Ralo Asur. So in this very case of Mitztamek V'Ralo, which was Mutter on Erev Shabbos, and Shehiya going into Shabbos was permissible, is Asur on Shabbos because of the Isur Chazara, even though it's Mitztamek V'Ralo. So once again we see that the laws of Chazara are not identical to the laws of Shehiya. So for example, if I left this pot on an open fire, and it was already fully cooked before Shabbos, and it's mitztamek viralo, now it enters into Shabbos, did I violate the Isur Shehiya? No. The Gemara says explicitly it's mutter. We'll see it in the Rambam in just a second. Now I take it off on Shabbos, and I want to put it right back on. We're not allowed to do it. Why? Because it's chazor. I put it right back on. You just finished telling me that putting it right back on means regenerating or resuscitating the original Shehiya. No, if it's the original Shehiya, the Shehiya was mutter, why should the Chazara be mutter? We have a problem here. The question is so brilliant. Why are you playing this game on both sides? On one side you're saying that the essence of Chazara is not a heter Chazara. They still never accepted the heter Chazara. They agreed with Beit Shammai. The only thing is they allowed you to do a certain kind of trick which is really Shehiyah, and replacing the original Shehiyah. But then if that be the case, then the laws of Chazor should mirror image the laws of Shehiyah. Why am I prohibited, let's say again, just going over one more time, Hananiah and then Rabbanan, why am I prohibited according to Hananiah if I have this pot on an open fire and I'm allowed to do so because Hananiah rejects the Issur Shehiyah, and now I want to replace it on Shabbos, but Odom Biyado, B'day to Lahachzir, and you're telling me it's Osur. Why? Because even Hananiah agrees that in an Eino Goref, Eino Kotum, Chazor is Osur. But why? I'm replacing the original Shehiyah. Question number two, according to the Rabbanon, I have a case of a food that was totally cooked, it's mitztamik v'ralo, there's no Issur Shehiyah, now I leave it on the pot, I'm a tzadik gomur, and then on Shabbos I come to take it off and put it right back on, b'yodo b'yodo, not allowed to do it. Mitztamik v'ralo is also in Chazorah. Why? If the whole point of Chazorah here is not really Chazorah, but rather to replace the Shehiyah, well, that's exactly what I'm doing here. The Shehiyah was mutter, then the Chazorah ipso facto has to be mutter. That's the question of Rav Soloveitch. Brilliant question. And to appreciate the depth of this question, you really have to know all the different sugyas that we've been learning. Now, let's take a look at how he proves this from the Rambam, by the way. This is fascinating. So I'm going to open up a Rambam here to Perek Gimel Mehilcha Shabbos, right? That's the laws of Bishul. And the Rambam says the following. Okay, we're going to look first in Perek Gimel Halacha Ches, and we're going to compare Halacha Ches to Halacha Yud. Halacha Ches is addressed to the question of Shehiyah. And the Rambam says the following. He says that in a case of a tavshil chai, that's raw food, shelo bishel klal, it hasn't started the process of bishel. Case number two, bishel kol sarko, it's completely cooked, is mutal ashosal gabi yoish. You're allowed to leave it on top of the fire. So the Rambam clearly holds that Shehiyah is mutter if it's completely cooked. Correct? It's mevushal called sark. Now let's fast forward to Halacha Yud. Here the Rambam is talking about taking it off the fire on Shabbos and putting it back on the fire. That's called Chazorah. And the Rambam writes, Kol she mutal ish hosal gabi ha'esh, kishin notlin oso b'shabbos, oso lach zero l'mkoma. The Rambam is saying that even though there was a heter shehiyah, nevertheless I'm not allowed to put it back on Shabbos. B'yei mach zero li olam. And the Mepharshim say, and that's reflected here also in this presentation, that li olam, the Rambam adds the word li olam to tell you that even if it's mitztamik v'ralo, I'm not allowed to put it back on the fire. So here's a case again where clearly Shehiyah was mutter and Chazor is awesome. How do we justify this? And to read the words of the Hari Kedem here, which I think I'm trying not to read the whole thing inside because that's too cumbersome. So if anyone wants to follow the text, I underlined that this section. It's right above that little arrow. Did you see the arrow there that I added? Okay, so about five lines above the Alechora, Kol Hana Chilukim Tzrichim Biur. All these distinctions between Shehiyah and Chazorah are problematic. The Hare Yisod. Yisod means the definition, the foundation of the Heter of Chazorah LeBeis Hillel, Hu Mishum, the Al Yidei Zesh Eloiniach Al Gabi Karka Velo Yisiach Daito Mimenu. He's got the pot in his hands, and he hasn't given up hope on it. He's still connected to it mentally. The Chazor is a continuation of the original Shia, which means that logically the conclusion should be Shekol Kule Shehiya, all the Kulos and the Heterim that permit us to do Shia, Yachulu should be relevant to Gamal Chazor. Umay Taima. How could it be, Chazina, that we've proven the Chazorah Chamura Mishahiyah? How could it be that the laws of Chazorah are stricter than those of Shehiyah? Now, the answer to this question is equally profound, and it appears here in the paragraph that says Vanira Bazeh. But Shmuel asked me before whether or not the Harei Kedem is totally dedicated to present based on notes that were taken the Shiurim of Rav Soloveitchik. I told him that although yet the general rule is yes, the exception to the rule is when you see brackets with the Rashi Tevos Aleph Hey, which means Omar Hakosev. So if you notice the Omar Hakosev, he has a very long, what we would have called footnote, but I don't know, for some reason he integrates it into the text. Okay. Now, we're not going to read this inside, but we're going to say the following as a summary of what he offers here as a possible answer, possible solution to this problem. But just by a show of hands, how many people appreciate the problem? Because if you don't appreciate the problem, you're not going to appreciate the two solutions, one in the name of the Kosev, and the one is Vanira Bazeh. So just by a show of hands, how many people here appreciate the Kash? Nobody. Okay, so who can say over the kasha? David, you're not.
My hand up.
I know. That's why I'm calling on you. Did you follow the two premises? Can you repeat the two premises for me, David?
Well, that's.
No. You're not right. Yeah, go ahead. Don't speak Australian to me.
Chazar and Shehi are completely different.
Wait a minute. That's already premise number two.
Right.
You're fast forwarding. But what about premise number one?
That all these conditions for returning the pot.
To allow you to return the pot.
Is like doing a continuation of the original Shehiya.
Excellent. And premise number two?
But Chazar and Shehi are completely different.
And we find what in the case of Chazar that we don't find in Shehi? Chumris or Kulis? That's what I'm asking you.
Chumris.
We find Chumris in Shehi in Chazara that don't apply to Shehi. Well, if I fulfill the conditions of Olam V'yado and Lo Yinicha and Galbi Karka Daitan Lahatzir and I replace the original Shehi, why should I be more Machmir? Whatever you allowed me on Erev Shabbos, allow me on Shabbos as long as I fulfill the conditions. I'm a good boy and I'm replacing the original Shehi. That's the catch. And Rabosa, again, you can learn these sugyas 50 million times and not be aware of this problem. It's like a mountain a barrier that stands, looms in front of your eyes, and you could have missed it. So let me mention the two approaches. The first approach, which is here in brackets, reflects our old concept of Mechsi Kimavashal. If you recall Rashi back at the beginning of Parakira, when he speaks about Chazara, he adds two words, Mechsi Kimavashal. And that seems to replace the old lingo, which appears over and over again in all the sugyas that we saw. What's the old lingo? The well-trodden path. Why are all these Isurim Durabbanon instituted? And Shehiyah is going to be limited under certain conditions, and Chazara, even more conditions have to be fulfilled. Shevi Yechata Begachol. So Rashi now, when he gets to Chazara, introduces a new concept called Mechsi Kimavashal, and it seems to replace the old, as I call it, the well-trodden path of Shemi Yechata Begachom. So the first approach is going to say the following. That you know what? There are certain ways and situations and conditions that would calm us down about Shemi Yechata Begachom. And that's going to allow Shehiyah in a very broad way. However, when we get to Chazara, now we have to shift gears mentally. We're talking now about a whole new realm of Mechsei Kimavashal. And that Mechsei Kimavashal element is going to add above and beyond Shemi Yechata B'Gecholim and generate new Chumras. So for example, you might say that within the context of Shemi Yechata B'Gecholim, Mitztamek V'Ralo calms me down. Because after all, as we mentioned a million and one times, so pardon the Chazara, for him to tamper with the fire and poke the coals and speed up the heat and jack up the heat when it's Mitztamek V'Ralo would be like shooting himself in the foot. There's no chashash in that case. Fine. You can have, for example, the principle of Chananya. You know, it's already edible on Erev Shabbos. Let it go. Leave it on an open fire. He's not going to come to be Machate B'Gecholim because he's pretty satisfied that once it reached Kemaychel Ben Josoi, let it go. The continuous process will, you know, will bring to the ultimate fruition of a full cooking. So Basil, excuse me. So Chananya is going to be laid back about Shehi on Erev Shabbos. All that is fine and dandy until we get to Shabbos itself. When we get to Shabbos itself, we have additional problems. That same Shehiyah that could have been Mutar on Erev Shabbos, now we have to introduce a whole nother variable into the equation. And what's that? Mitzeh. Everybody, Mitzeh Kimevashel. Oh, Mitzeh Kimevashel. Here Chananya raises his hand and say, I confess, I admit defeat. You're talking about looking like Bishul? Okay, so there's no Shevi Yechata. But to take the pot and put it on an open fire on Shabbos... Okay, it reached Kamaichel Ben Josai, that's wonderful. There's no Shemi Yechata B'Gecholim. He's very satisfied. But now he's taking it off the fire, and he's putting it back on the fire. It's an open fire. Says Chananya, I get very nervous about that. That's a whole different ballgame. That's Mechsei Kimavashim. That looks like Bishul. Another example, let's say according to the Rabbana. The Rabbana are going to say the following. If it's Mitztamik V'Ralo, even though we reject Chananya, here we admit defeat. We confess that this is going to be Mutar and Shehi on an open fire. Why? Because where's Yeshev Yechata B'Cholim? It's already Mitztamik V'Ralo. Chananya went too far. You know, he said, "All right, it's Kemaychel Ben Josoi. There's no Shemi Yechata B'Cholim." The Rabbanon are not going to buy into that. But Chosh, when it gets to the point in this Bashal called Tzarko, here even the Chachom are going to agree. But when it comes to Chazara, then we have a new element. Because even if you're replacing the original Shehiyah, that's as far as the problem of Shemi Yechat is concerned. Shehiyah only exposed itself and addressed the problem of Shemi Yechat. There was no Mitzi Kimavashal, it was Erev Shabbos. But once you're putting it back on the fire, with all due respect to the lumpus, this conceptualization that you're replacing the Shehiyah, okay, fine, replace the Shehiyah. From now until doomsday, you can replace the Shehiyah. And there's no Shemi Yechata B'Gecholim. But there's only one difference. It's Shabbos today. And if it's Shabbos today, we have another problem of Mechsei Kimavashel. That's the first approach. Adkan HaKofa. Any questions so far? Yeah,
you had discussed, the Rav had discussed earlier the idea of the Zekum the Zatseh, Lo Taseh in terms of Shehiyah. But here I'm saying Shehiyah Aleph, Shehiyah Bet. Shehiyah up until Shabbos, and the Shehiyah Bet. And they're connected, but they're right. Different.
They're connected to the extent in which we're applying the, we're looking at it through the perspective of Shemi Yechata B'Gecholim, and then they're very connected, because whatever solutions you had to Shemi Yechata B'Gecholim with regard to Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos, whether it was Chananya's solution of Kemaychel Ben Josoi, whether it was the Chachomim Shita of Mitztamik V'Ralo, all those solutions will calm me down as far as Shehiyah on Erev Shabbos. But now I want to replace that Shehiyah on Shabbos itself. Okay, I admit to you, there's no problem with Shemi Yechata. All those reasons and logic that dictated that there's no Shemi Yechata, Market Islay, Market, that's all very satisfactory. But there's only one problem. As Ben says, now you're doing a kuvase. Now you're placing it on the fire. And when?
On Shabbos.
And that's the key point. On Shabbos. Now I introduce, you know, front stage, a whole new element into the equation. And that's Mitzeh Kimavashel. And here the Rabbanan get very nervous. If it's an Eino Goref, the Eino Kotum, that's already Mitzeh Kimavashel. You're talking about putting a pot on the open fire? The Rabbanan say, we don't tamper with that. That's like playing with fire. That's considered Mechsei Kemavashi.
Yeah, just to add one little thing to that. Originally the Rav was saying that they're really mutually exclusive because of those first two things that we started with. So if he's doing this new Maisa now, is it not also then going to be Sosa in some way? What was going on before? In other words, if we're
well, again, not if it's Odo Viodo.
No, when he's putting it on Shabbos.
Right, so I'm saying he's only putting it on, but odon biyado, right? He took it off and he's holding on to it. He didn't put it down. His das, when he took it off, was to replace it. That's not a stira to the original shehid. That's what the Gemara establishes on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Bet.
Right.
So if that's not a stira to the original shehid, we come back to Rav Salvation's problem over here. Why not apply all the kulos that you applied to shehid in this case? If the whole lumdus and the mechanics, what I call the chemistry of the halacha, or the biology of the halacha, is that now, by replacing it while it's still in my hand, I am recreating that shehid, then all the kulos of shehid should apply. But the answer is no. There's one difference between this shehiyah and that shehiyah, and that is we're talking on Shabbos, you're actively putting on to an open fire, now we have a whole new element in the equation. Here the rabbanim get very tough, they get very nervous. We call it nervin, the Israelis call it, you know what I mean? And what is that? Let's go on, Rabbosei, because again, I know you have a lot of questions, but I want to hold off the questions until we see the picture as a whole. What we're up to now is venir. Do you have the word Vahanira? That's on the left column. And here, Rav Soloveitchik has what I call a breakthrough shita. And I've been reading this over and over and over again to let it sink into my soul. And I'm always there. I'm not 100% there, but I'm close. He wants to say the following. Dehine bipshuto. Now, dehine bipshuto means, at first glance, and that introduces the Havamina, which means the old way we always understood the halacha. And now he's going to completely revolutionize it. So first he presents the old pathway that we're all familiar with. That's what he calls Bipshuto. He says the following, Hatnai shel odon biyado. This condition that you have to hold on to the pot in order to permit replacing it onto the fire is totally different than garif akotu, which is a different condition and operates in a different world and achieves an entirely different purpose. Conceptually, categorically, they're different like day and night, like Mizrach and Mayrav. The first condition called odon biyado hu kidei lashvi lachazor kechazorah, which means to replace the original shehiyah, and if the chazor is just a replacement of the original shehiyah. That's as far as the condition of odu biyado, lo inichal gabi karka, daiton lahachzir, etc. Ve'ilu, but in contrast, again, this is all the havamina, this is what he calls bepshuto, ha de be'ina, the other condition, that we need a gar for katum to allow chazorah, this has nothing to do, l'chora, again, this is the pshuto, this is what we call prima facie, has nothing to do with trying to replace the original shehiyah. That we cannot allow chazorah when it's an open fire. Because again, you know, the too many serious issues that we have to deal with and we have to address. Let's guarantee that the fire is garuf akotum when we're talking about chazor on Shabbos. And if this be the case, then we're back to square one. And we have to reiterate our original problem, our original contradiction, because if you're telling me that there's halach in the heter of chazora, that I can only be mater chazora if the condition of garuf akotum is met, then you're contradicting the original heter when you replace the chazorah, because replacing the chazorah means recreating and regenerating the shehiyah. So why are you adding new conditions here to chazorah when we're back to shehiyah? Achen, now he comes up with the revolution. Nire, degam hatnai shel garuf v'katum, hu me'ein hatnai shel odon biyodo. These are not two categorically, fundamentally different conditions, but basically me'ein, the word me'ein means they belong to the same category. And if we're trying to replace the original shehiyah, then it's not sufficient to say it's odo biyado, he's still holding on to the pot. But beyond that, we have to say that it's a garuf akotum. Follow the logic here. What he's saying is, just get the mathematics first, is that if you have a fire that's not garuf akotum, then there's no replacement theory. There's no way that you can bring back the original shehiyah. Again, watch it, Rabbi Osai. The original Shia was on what kind of stove? An Enogar, V'Enokot. I'm now replacing the pot on Shabbos on the very same Eish. It's an Enogar for Kot, but that's where I was allowed to do Shia on Erev Shabbos. And it's considered a brand new Chazorah. It's not the replacement, and as I called it, the resurrection of the old Shehiyah. It's a brand new Hanocha al Gabi Ha'esh. Why? Because it's an Eino Garof Eino Kot. Again, we still don't understand why, but just get the mathematics here. Do you hear what he's saying? No. We understood Kipshuto, that Garof HaKotim is a whole different requirement, because Garof HaKotim has to do with, you know, maybe he'll come and he'll play with it, maybe it looks like Bishul, and all the discussions that we had, that has nothing to do with Odom Biyodo and Daito Lahasir. Odom Biyodo and Daito Lahasir was for the purpose of resurrecting and replacing the original Shehiyah, but Garof HaKotim is a different problem, that when the fire is alive and active, then we have other issues within the context of Bishul. So if Soloveitchik says, if you can accept the Pshuto, then we don't understand. Because if the first set of conditions of Odom V'Yodo are meant to replace the original Shehiyah, then those heterim of Shehiyah should apply to Chazor as well. Why do you add this whole new principle of, wait a minute, we can't let the fire be active, and we have to worry, and we have to say, no, you need a Garof HaKotum. So the Rav says, no. Garof HaKotum, like Odom Biyodo, is a condition that will allow me to recreate and resurrect the original Shehiyah. Yeah. What it means is that there are two ways that you can destroy the tziruf, the connection that links up your chazor with the original Shehiyah. One is by putting the pot down on the ground, and the other is by putting it back on a Garof HaKotum. Why? What do you mean putting it back on a Garof HaKotum? It was on a Garof HaKotum yesterday, Erev Shabbos. Why can't I put it back on a Garof HaKotum? I'm still holding on to it. I'm still replacing the original Shehiyah. Who cares if it's a Garof HaKotum? No, if it's a Garof, I'm sorry, it's an Eino Garof Eino Kotum. Says Rav Soloveitchik, if it's an Eino Garof Eino Kotum, then the Halacha defines that as a Hanocha Tchila, as a brand new placing of the pot on the fire. It's not capable of resurrecting and replacing the original Shehiyah. Very strange, no? We thought that the requirement of Garof HaKotum is on a different level. It has to do with Shavi Echate or Metzi Kimavashel, whichever way you want to take it. No. It has to do with Hemsheich HaShehiyah Kodemes. There ain't no such thing in Halacha as Hemsheich HaShehiyah Kodemes if it's an Eino Garof Eino Kotum, if it's an open fire. Why? Says Rav Soloveitchik, an unbelievable chiddush here. He says, "Kishem she'im he'nichon al gabi karka zemafkia." That cuts the connection. May ha'maisa shem ha'maisa shom shel maisa chazora shame. I'm sorry. It removes the shame of chazora. Chazora means again to replace and resurrect the original shia. Why? Because you put it down al karka. Kishem, to that extent, and it makes it into a meiniach b'tchila, kach, so too, im haya notel me'esh megula, if he takes the pot off an open fire, and I'm going to skip the next few words, v'u machzir elan, he replaces it, puts it back on the open fire, ein zen nidon kechazor kla. That doesn't have the shame chazor. Again, the shame chazor means the halachic category or concept of chazor, which means to replace the original shia. Ela, but rather it's kemeniach al das levashel lechatchila. It's as if he's starting a whole new process of bishul. He's not continuing the old bishul, but rather he's creating a new bishul. How do you create this new bishul? One of two ways. Either because you took the pot off the fire and you placed it where, Abosai? On the ground, or you took it off the fire and without putting it on the ground, you put it back on the open fire. That too is considered a bishul lechatchila, a brand new bishul. It's not considered a chazorah of the original Bishul, the original Shehiyah, but rather becomes Meniach B'Tchila. So I will say the concepts that you want to underline here are, number one, Meniach B'Tchila, that has to be written in red ink, you know, underlined in red ink, and the opposite of that is called Hashem Shel Maisa Chazor. Now, does everybody have the lingo here? Because if you don't have the lingo, it's going to make it cumbersome to try to convey Rav Soloveitchik's chiddush over here. The lingo is, there's something called chazara, which means replacing the original shehiyah, and then there's something called meniach betchila. Meniach betchila means it's a new bishul. It's not the old process of bishul that's continuing, but rather it's a replacement and a creation of a new process of bishul. Everybody have that?
Meniach what?
Again, I'm asking you to underline it in the page. If you want, I'll do that for you. Just so that, again, just because I'm saving myself to writing this on the blackboard.
It doesn't exist.
Oh, okay, which right now doesn't exist. He says the following. There's something called this is one category. Again, I wish I had maybe I'll use your pencil, and maybe that'll make it a little bit more obvious. I don't know if it will or it won't. I need a red pen, actually. Okay, there's something called the Shem Shel Maisa Chazara. Okay, and the opposite of that is called Meniach B'Tchila. Okay, these two boxes, right, this is really a second box, it's just on a different line. These two boxes are antonyms. Did I get that right? What's the opposite of a synonym? An antonym, right? That means these are opposites. Okay, so the first concept is Shem Shel Maisa Chazora. And what's a Maisa Chazora in halachic terms? Replacing and as I call it, resurrecting the original Shehiyah. And then there's something else called Meniach B'Tchila. Meniach B'Tchila means a brand new cooking. It's not the old cooking, but it's a new cooking. So Rabosa, you know, a lot of people in our society like the new things. You know what I mean? They hate the old things. That's why our youth are so, they're so, what's the word I'm looking for? Restless. Why are they restless? Because they don't like the old things. Why is it that old people are treated like old people? Because they're old. Ah, but to every rule is an exception. Old wine is good wine. And old scholarship is a zokein shekana chachma. That's what we respect. In this context, what's better, the old cooking or the new cooking? What are we looking for in order to be matir Chazor on Shabbos? We're looking for the old cooking. Old wine is good wine. If you remember that, then you remember the whole shtickle Torah from Rav Soloveitchik. The name of this simon is old wine is good wine. We need the old bishul and not new bishul. Because if we have the old bishul, then we can allow all the heterim, all the conditions that permit us for Shehiyah to apply in Chazor. Only if the Chazor is old. Rabbosai, please understand, we like the old. And we don't like the new, because if it's going to be new, then it's Bishul. Then it really looks like Bishul mitchila. It's like a Tchilas Bishul. Kimeiniach b'tchila. Says Rav Soloveitchik, how do we get to the old Bishul? In two ways. Number one, Odom b'yodo. He's holding on to the pot. He doesn't let it go for a minute. We have another discussion coming up about Roseach. It's still hot. That gives me the old bishul. Number two, it's a gara for katan. It's already been raked out of its coals. If it's not a gara for katan and it's an open fire, then every time I put it on the open fire, that's called a brand new bishul. And new is not good. It's bad. We want the old. Why? Says the Rav that if it's okay, we get a little musical background here, which is always good. You know,
don't apologize.
Because music is old music here in this case. Okay, so he says the following. He says that if you have an Eish Megula, right, Derech Levashel Ba Lechatchila. Wow. Can you underline those words? Give me a page back here.
Yes,
you have it? Shaderech levashel eish megula, haderech levashel ba lechatchila. He's saying you want to generate a shame chazara, which means the old bishul. You can't do that in an esh megula. You can't resurrect the old bishul if the esh is of an active fire. It's an eno garf eno kotu. Why? Shahaderech levashel bo lechatchila. In other words, we need some sort of a change here that would make the fire into such a kind of fire that it's an old fire rather than a new fire, and it's an old bishul than rather than a new bishul. What mechanics, what agency is going to facilitate creating that old bishul? A garafikatum. If it's a garafikatum, it doesn't have that aggressive personality to it. And you can talk about recreating and regenerating the old bishul. But if it's an Eish Megula, Rabosai, HaDerech Levashel Bo Lechatchila, that fire is designated for cooking. And any time I put the pot on the fire, I'm starting a process of cooking. V'ein Zeh Nidon Kechazor Klal. I can no longer classify, define it as the old cooking. Ella, but rather becomes Meniach Al Das Levashel Lechatchila. It's as if now he's beginning a process of bishul. Yesh Me'ayin from the beginning, from square one, despite the fact that he's still holding the pot in his hand, despite the fact that he had das when he took it off to replace it onto the fire. No. If the fire is active, it's an exposed Eish Megula, then we apply the principle of Darko Levashel Bo Lechatchila. What is the purpose of that fire? What do I see? What does the halacha see in that fire? It sees worlds in that fire. You and I see, you know, a gas and different colors, and it's all beautiful, right? But the halacha sees something way below the surface in that fire. What does the halacha see in that fire? It sees a fire that's designated for bishul, which means that anytime you put something, a foodstuff, in a pot on that fire, you're starting a process of bishul. Forget about the old process of bishul. The old process of bishul is gone. And he amplifies it a little bit in the next line. He says, Kevon sheyesh kan esh chashuva. There's a very significant esh. The esh has a personality to it. The esh has a will. And what is the will of the esh? What is the esh begging for? Cook on me. Wow, this is, you know, Nixon's the one. You know, cook on me. Sheroi levashel bo lechatchila. You know what I'm saying? Sheroi levashel bo lechatchila. We need a more passive kind of a fire that's calmed down a little bit, and then we could say, you know what, this esh is already a garfa kotv. It's not crying out for, you know, cook on me, take me back to the old shia. That's called a garfa kotv. But if it's an eno garfa kotv, then it's considered an esh royal of vashavol chatchil. It's almost like what should I say? It's like. This halacha of hazmana. Have you ever heard the word hazmana? Again, this is just burrs on my own musings here. Hazmana. Oh, forget it. Okay. Hazmana is a world-class sugya that appears all over the place in Shas, which means to designate something. Like, for example, if I take a building, a structure, and I say, I'm going to use this as a synagogue, as a Beis HaKnesses, that's called hazmana. And all the laws that prohibit me from using it for my own purposes already kick in as soon as I have hazmana. Or for example, in the opposite end of the spectrum, if I designate this as a washroom, a beis hakisei, then again a whole new set of laws apply, and that applies even before I used it even once, but I designate it as a beis hakisei. That's called hazmana. Hazmana means when you designate something, and the personality, a halachic personality of that object changes, and is generated by the hazmana. Here also, there's halacha of hazmana. An open fire is like a hinani mukhuna mezuma, and it's like a hazmana for bishul. And it's not the old bishul, it's a brand new bishul.
Yeah. It seems to me that it comes down to the intent. If it's an open fire, it seems to me you're intending to cook because you want it to continue cooking. Right.
Well, you have to leave out the word continue. You're starting to cook.
But whether you're holding it or not, I mean, the idea is you want it to cook. Whereas if you're banking it, right, or shoveling, whatever it is, there's no intention to cook. I know I can't cook if I have no open fire. So
correct. So Rav Soloveitchik's chiddush is that just like holding on to the pot means I have no intention to cook. I'm just I'm just replacing the old Shehiyah from Erev Shabbos. So too, if it's a Garfa Katuv, I could say I'm replacing the exact situation that existed on a Garfa Katuv. But once I have an Eino Garfa Eino Katuv, now I have problems. Mm-hmm. So for example, it's true that according to Hananya, for example, Shehiel be mutar on Erev Shabbos on an open fire. If it's Kemaychel ben Josoy, the Chacham will allow it. If it's Mitztamik Veralo, and that's all on an open fire. But when you get to Chazara, you want to solve that problem by simply saying, "Well, I'm holding on to the pot after I took it off, and my full intention was to replace it." So I'm yelling and screaming, "I want the old Shehiel," but the Eish is contradicting me. The open fire stares me in the face and screams out, "I am waiting for Bishul." And that bishul is a brand new bishul. There's no way I can connect by placing the pot on the fire with the original shehiyah if the fire is an open fire. It's a whole new perspective on both sides. I mean, it changes everything that we've been saying. That's why I wanted to share this with you. He has a Rashba, which I didn't get a chance to look up, on Daf Mem on Midbeis. And the Rashba says that Chazoron and Eino Garf Eino Kotum is Mishum Dehavi Kimavashel. What does he mean, Havi Kimavashel? So he says the following. Even though there was no Hesek Hadas, you know, he wanted to replace it and he took it off in order to replace it and everything else. But nevertheless, if it's an Eino Garf Eino Kotum, that's considered that he was Mesiach Das. And he's creating a brand new bishul lechatchila. If you remember that terminology, hanocha bitchila, bishul lechatchila.
Is what I said. It's the intent.
But again, Don, what bothers me about throwing in the word intent here is it's going to be very confusing here, and it's just going to, I think, I'm afraid, mess us up, because daito lahachzir, that's intent. I took it off the fire in order to put it back on the fire. What he's saying here is that there's an intention that has nothing to do with the mind of the person. Has nothing to do with the, you know, the cogito ergo sum, meaning the way I think. You know, that's nothing to do with the subjective intention. So that's why I object to the word intention here. If you want to use the word intention, what we're saying is the fire has an intention. Not the person, but the fire. And the fire's intention is to create a new bishul. Valderech Zeh, he wants to explain another sugya. And that's the Gemara Daf Lamed Zayin that we did just recently. The Gemara says that there's a difference between Tocha and Algaba, which means that when we allow Chazara, you're allowed to put the pot back on top of the stove, but not inside the stove. And the heter of Chazara, even in a Kira Grufa and a Ketuma, is only on top of the stove, but not inside the stove. Now, wait a second. Shehi on Erev Shabbos, that you were allowed to do. You were allowed to leave your pot on this Kira that's Garfa Kotum, even inside the stove itself. But when you want to replace it, you're not allowed to replace it inside the stove, you have to replace it on top of the stove. Mitzarech Bir, and he says, I don't understand. If you allowed me to do Shehiyah, even Tocha, even by leaving it inside the oven where the heat is very intense, then why not allow me to do Chazara, again, if it's Oda Biyado, etc., etc., and place it inside the stove? You know, we had a discussion yesterday about taking it from one stove to the other stove, if you recall. Venira, the Gambozeish Lafarish al Derech Hanal. Again, I want to approach it with the same perspective. That's a problem. Why? Because what's the inside of Akira? The inside of Akira is like the Eish Magula. It has a personality of its own. Because what do we do inside the Kira? Who ikar makom abishul? That's where the bishul takes place. Again, in our times, it's contemporary, it's very hard to relate to this, because we, in our minds, we don't think so much about putting it inside. But even in our times, we have ovens with cooktops, right? Here at Rabbi Meir number 3, right? What is it? We have this oven, open it up, put it in, and we also have a cooktop. Okay, here, there, it's separate, it's on two. But very often you can have the cooktop on top of the oven. I'm trying to think if we have that in Har Nov. No, but...
I mean, the heat's coming from the oven itself.
No, I'm not saying the heat's coming from the oven, but I'm just saying that, let's say you have two choices. You can either put your pot on top of the cooktop, on the burners, or you can put it inside the oven. Classical baking or cooking, even inside the oven or on top. So you and I might say, well, why do I bother with the oven? You know, maybe in certain cases of baking bread and so forth, you know, you have pizza, you want to reheat it, you'll use the oven. There are different scenarios. But as a general rule, you put it on top of the cooktop. You know, you want to fry your eggs, so you turn on the fire and you put it on the grates, right? That's the way we see it. But back in the time, the classical method of cooking was inside the oven. The top of the fire was still not as sophisticated as it is today, and it was tuffel. Tuffel means secondary. The ikar bishul was inside the oven. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to claim that the isur on daf lamed zayin amud aleph of placing your pot inside the kira, inside the oven, even though you're replacing exactly the shahir that you were allowed to do on Erev Shabbos, why is it also on Shabbos? Is because the inside of the oven is ikar makom abishol. And therefore, li'olam chashiv kemeniach b'tchilu, it's always considered as if you're starting a new process of bishul. So he has here the following equation or parallel. He says, just like an open fire begs for a bishul, and every time you put it on the open fire, it's like starting a new process of bishul, so too the inside of the oven begs for bishul, because it's the ikar makom bishul, and it always is considered as if you're starting a process of bishul. It was shahir, and I'm only replacing the shahir, it was daita lahatzir, and so forth and so on. No, the halacha prohibits it. And the Ramban says the following, chamur tocha, why are we being so strict about putting it inside the oven? Mishum de nafish havla, because there's a great deal of heat. Ve'havi kimavashel b'shabes, v'afal pisha garf v'kotum. So again, if the Eishes ain't no garf, ain't no kotum, then we say there's an absolute isur chazara. And why? Because we're saying that now it's considered as a bishul l'chatchil, it's a brand new bishul. We have to replace the old bishul. We can't do that on an open fire. Now we're saying even on a closed fire, even on a garf v'kotum, if it's inside the tanur, we're going to prohibit that in chazara, because that's considered like a brand new bishul. Why is that a brand new bishul? So Rav Soloveitchik wants to explain, because that's a makom miyuchad l'bishul, and if it's miyuchad l'bishul, then every time you use that, you know, the inside of the kira is calling out for a bishul. That's hazman in my language. It's designated for bishul. It's like you start a whole new process of bishul. That's basically what I wanted to share with you here. So Rav Osai, you know, the choice is yours. You can either accept it or not accept it. There's no coercion here. What I wanted to share with you, and that's what I'm excited about, it's a whole new perspective. You know, in Torah, there are two very impressive endeavors or achievements, accomplishments in Torah. One is to try to explain, understand, put everything in perspective, you know, all the pieces of the puzzle should fit together. But there's another accomplishment in Torah, which is probably not less significant. That's called chidush, to come up with a new idea. To look at the same thing that you've been looking at for the last 50 million years and all of a sudden come up with a new perspective. All the great inventors, you know, Newton and Galileo, you know, all of them, what do? Einstein, you know, all of a sudden he looked at things with the theory of relativity. You know, it's, to us already, it's second fiddle. You know, it's old hat. But when he came up with it, it was like stunning. Yeah, I've been looking at that reality for the last, who knows, and always saw it in one light. Now, all of a sudden, I see it in a different light. That's a koach achidush. My Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, wrote an entire essay. It's called Halachic Man, about the koach achidush, about creativity and insight and learning. And I always say, you know, we have something called Birchas Hanenim, which means, you know, you want to eat an apple, you make a bracha. Okay, I don't eat apples so much, but I eat a pear. So I make a bar for you, I eat, because I'm very excited to eat it, right? And I have to thank Hashem for it, acknowledge that He gave it to me. But then we have mitzvahs. And we don't have a birchas hanenim on a mitzvah. Mitzvahs lav lehenos. But I would say, I'll be drush, don't take me halachic, literally, I'm not changing the halacha, but I would say we should make a birchas hanenim on Torah itself. When? When there's a chidush. Because that chidush, if you allow it to inspire you, it just simply, it's like an electric shock almost. It like sends waves through your body. My father, may rest in peace, used to go to Rav Soloveitchik's class on Tuesday nights in a synagogue downtown Manhattan called Moriah. And my father worked hard to show up every Tuesday night regularly. You know, he had a busy schedule, my father, but everything I had to take as a second fiddle in order to go to Rav Soloveitchik's Tuesday night class in Moriah, together with another 300 people. So anyway, once after the shiur, he came over to Rav Soloveitchik and he said, Rebbe, I'm afraid I won't get rewarded in the next world for coming to your shiur. So the Rav turned like white and he said, Rabbi Berzon, what are you saying? He sounded like happy curses. So my father said to him, I enjoy your shiur more than anything, more than going to an opera, than going to I get physical pleasure from coming to your shiur. Physically, my body gets pleasure from hearing your Torah. So Rav Soloveitchik said to him, in Yiddish, he said, Das heißt Torah Lishma. That's Torah L'shem Torah. That's the highest level of Torah. And later on, many years after I heard the story from my father, I found this chiddush in the Netziv Mivalosh, the great Rosh Hashiva Valosh, that he says that Torah is not just ruch, not just spiritual pleasure, it's physical pleasure as well. The body itself is nen. That's the koach hachiddush. That's the highest level of learning. So that's why I say this, again, you know, we plowed through the text, so we lost a little bit the excitement, but because it's very tedious reading. But once you get to the bottom line and you begin to see how it's a whole new perspective, that an Eino Garof Eino Kato is the same as Lav Daita Lahatz or Yenicham Al Gavi Karka, and basically you can't replace the original Shehiyah. I mean, that's a whole new way of looking at it.
Which Rav Soloveitchik is this?
This is Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik.
That's the father of the...
I don't know, his son is Chaim Soloveitchik. He's a PhD...
Rav Soloveitchik that you studied with at Yeshiva, that's this one.
And yeah, right. But what did you mean by saying the father?
Because there was also his father or grandfather was...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Rav Soloveitchik.
Yeah, yeah. His father was Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Right. His was Rav Yosef Tov. Yeah. I was not Zocha to hear Shirim from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. I think... I'm sure he was gone before I was even born, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. But, you know, the Rav would transmit whatever Torah he heard from his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. And my father was a student of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik for 5 years, and Rav Moshe married off my parents. And then I was zocha to learn 5 years by his son, Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, and he married me off to my wife. I wish he was here tonight to marry off my daughter, but he's not alive anymore. I mean, hopefully he's smiling up in heaven. And his koach achidush, his creativity was just a legend. You know, it was just beyond belief. He could look at something with a different perspective. And he had his, you know, those who were, what do I call it, the skeptics, you know, because when you say something new, you know, everybody says, come on, you know, this, I'm not used to it, you know, I'm conservative, this is not the way I learned it until now. So there was always that, and his grandfather was Reb Chaim Soloveitchik. Reb Chaim already, you're talking about going back to like the year 1850. And his great-grandfather, he's named after Reb Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, the Beis Halevi. He already goes back to the end of the 1700s. So it's really cool. You know, you're sitting at the feet of someone, Rav Soloveitchik, who's quoting his great-grandfather. He can quote his grandfather things that he heard from his grandfather. And if not, he's quoting things that he heard from his father in the name of his grandfather. And then he would quote his great-grandfather. His great-grandfather already takes you back to the 1700s. And it's very exciting. I mean, you're really linking generations. It's something phenomenal. I don't know if in other religions they have such a thing. You know, where you're sitting in front of someone and you're learning the Torah of someone from the 1700s. It's like mind-boggling. The Rav said that he once in his youth met an old Jew. He didn't tell us how old he was, but I imagine he must have been like a century old, who was at the Beis Halevi's bris. Imagine my Rebbe met someone who was present at the Beis HaLevi's bris in the 1700s. It's like just blow your mind. This fellow, Rabbi Kellerman, permission to believe.
Yeah,
he has this video. I don't know what you call it. It's more than just a. It's not a video. That's a bad word. Yeah, what is it? Some sort of presentation. And you, I think you can get it online. Anyway, I saw it. It was phenomenal. It's about belief and faith and Torah ben Hashamayim, that Torah is divine. And it's unbelievable, the technology. You know, he's constantly, hitting you with different. But at one of his pieces, he says, go to the Kotel, tap an old Jew on the back and ask him, who was his Rebbe, and he shows you, a line, he traces it back to Moshe Rabbeinu, because it's true. My father told me that we have, again, we don't have it anymore, but we had at one point a document that traces back to the Maharal Miprag. Now, the Maharal Miprag himself had a document that traced them back to David HaMelech. Wow. Name by name. I mean, give it a break. What other religion on the face of the earth, Mikael Yisrael, who could say, I trace myself back to Moshe Rabbeinu? But that's because the yisod of Torah Sheba'al Peh, the oral transmission, is to link generations together. Imagine we're 100 guys, the average age is about 22 years old, sitting with an old man who's 80 years old. And listening to every word, hanging on to every word that comes out of his mouth. And no exams, this is just L'Shem Shammai. Is that not a phenomenon? Like, my gosh, this guy's an old Jew. He comes from a different dar, a different generation. Who cares what he has to say? I'm a 22-year-old. I got a life, I can go out there and study technology. I can create a, what's it called, Ben, when you, a new company, what do you call it, a startup? I can create startups. Why am I sitting with this old Jew with a beard and listening to him pontificate for hours and hours? On Thanksgiving, which is a very, I have to explain this to David here. Thanksgiving is a holiday in America for the whole American people.
Bunch of turkeys get together.
Exactly, we eat turkeys.
Purely American.
I'll never forget this. We were learning the third parak of Bava Basra, Chesed Sabbat. And it was Thanksgiving Day, and the Rav was saying Shir. And he started the Shir at about 10 a.m., and he got stuck on a sugya called Sada Zu Sada Stam. And he couldn't figure it out. And hours he's trying to figure it out.
In
front of the whole class, 100 people. After 4.5 hours, 4.5 hours, he says, go home and eat your turkey. I can't figure it out. 4.5 hours, we're waiting for the punchline. And he couldn't figure it out. Go home and eat your turkey.
And
ate turkey on Thanksgiving. Today you look in the post, it's the Chukas HaGoyim, should we eat turkey? The whole bit. All right, I'm sorry again.